So how's everyone doing this morning? How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Let's do this. Let's pray and ask for God to be with us on this journey. We're just going to spend just a few minutes this morning in the Word of God. And my hope is that God's Word will have a great impact on you this morning. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you that you're a God that values people. How do we know that? Because you sent your Son to die, so that we, your people, can have peace with you. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I just pray, could you be here? I know you're here already. Would you just be here in a special way the next few minutes as we open up your Word? Lord, I'm asking that you would do something much bigger than me. I'm just a voice. But Holy Spirit, what we need more than anything is your presence to come and open up our hearts, open up our minds, and do the activity, the supernatural activity that only you can do. We just give this time to you. We just ask that this would be meaningful in the lives of people. And everyone together said, amen, amen. I want to make it very clear right from the get-go that I do have a very specific goal today. And that is that I want to provide clarity to a word that we've all heard before. I just want to make sure that when we leave this place today, that you have a greater clarity, that you have a greater understanding of a word that you probably have heard many, many times, several times. And the word I want to look at today is the word on the screen, the next slide, forgiveness. I want to just take time to look at forgiveness. See, forgiveness is a word that I think it's multi-directional, meaning that forgiveness is both horizontal and forgiveness is also vertical. See, horizontal forgiveness is the forgiveness that if you're a Christ follower, Jesus calls you to extend this type of forgiveness to one another, to one another. That's horizontal forgiveness. We extend this towards one another. By the way, a great example of horizontal forgiveness is actually in a movie that's out at the theater right now. Has anyone seen it? The movie called I Can Only Imagine. Has anyone seen that movie? Great movie. If you want to know what horizontal forgiveness looks like in action, I encourage you, I don't like to use this opportunity to promote movies. That's not my job, my responsibility. That can be dangerous. But in this movie, there's just this beautiful picture of a son who forgives his abusive father. His father was abusive physically, emotionally, verbally. God did something in the son's heart. He comes to the father, forgives his father, and as a result, both parties, father and son, go on to live life to a greater fullness. That's the power of horizontal forgiveness. But there's a second forgiveness that's called vertical forgiveness, and I'm sure you figured this one out, and that's the forgiveness that God the Father extends towards us, his creation, okay? And I hope we all understand how big forgiveness is. I want you to understand how big forgiveness is. I want you to understand that God's forgiveness is a big, big deal, a big deal. You say, how big of a deal is it? Well, I think Andy Stanley captures how big forgiveness is in these words. This is what Andy Stanley said. Let's just hold on this slide here for a minute. I want everybody to just look at that slide together. Andy says something. It's not only Andy saying it. He's saying it with the support of Scripture. He said, good people don't go to heaven. Let's just, don't go on any further. Good people don't go to heaven. When you read that, that doesn't settle well in our culture today in America. Because we live with the mentality, we've been raised the thought, well, good people do go to heaven, meaning if I do more good than bad, if my good outweighs my bad, I'm good to go, or if I do this, that, or the other, then I'll go to heaven. But Andy says this, good people don't go to heaven. Let's look at the rest of the equation here. He says this, forgiven people go to heaven. So good people, he says, don't go to heaven. And by the way, these are all scripturally supported thoughts. Good people don't go to heaven, but forgiven people go to heaven. So here's my thought this morning. If this is true, and I believe 100%, I would lay my life on the line for this. If this is true that good people or forgiven people go to heaven, what my goal here today is very simple. And my goal is I want you to make sure you understand what it means to be forgiven. Because I don't know about you, but when it's all said and done, I certainly have a goal of wanting to go to heaven. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm on the back nine of life. I'm not sure what hole I'm on, maybe 12 or 13. But I'm on the back hole nine of life, and I realize there's going to be a day when this body where it decays and it dies, and when that happens, that's not the end of my life. It's just simply what is called a transition. we transition into eternity after our bodies shut down. And I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven, and I want everyone to look at me very carefully this morning. My goal is I want every one of you, I want everyone in this room, that when it's all said and done, my heart for you, my heart for your family, everyone in your family, is that you also go to heaven. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm so serious about this. I don't want anyone to miss out. I don't want anyone to miss out. I want everyone. I mean, I'm crazy to believe. I just want everyone to enter into heaven. But what we need is we need to make sure that we're forgiven. So what I want to do this morning is I want to begin a journey in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, you can open your Bible. But if you don't, all the verses will be on the screen above me. You can follow along. But this morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And actually, we're going to take the time just to look at three verses. And by the way, these verses touch on the crucifixion of Jesus. So here we are, we're in Holy Week. We've been celebrating Holy Week since last Sunday. And we know that on Friday, we call Good Friday, is the day where Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. I always think that what not a great Friday for Jesus, but surely a good Friday for people, amen? And so we're going to look at these verses of Jesus on the cross. And I want to let you know that scholars believe this. Scholars, people who study the Bible a lot, they've come up with this thought that when Jesus was on the cross, there were seven different statements that Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross. So they're recorded in Scriptures. These are the seven things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. Today, what I want to do is I want to look at the first statement of Jesus, the first thing he said when he was crucified on Good Friday. So let's pick it up, and we'll begin reading Luke 23, verses 32, 33, and 34. Follow along with me. It says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. Two criminals. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. So this is kind of what it would look like. That's what it was like Good Friday. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fully man, embodied in human form, sinless, is on the cross, and on his right and on his left are two people who are labeled as criminals. Think about that, criminals, okay? And then here's the first statement of Jesus on the cross, verse 34. Jesus said these words. He said, Father, forgive them. Can we say those two words together? Forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And then it concludes by saying, and the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice, which is a fulfillment of prophecy, by the way. So I like those words. It says, Father, the first statement of Jesus on the cross is these words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So here's my question. Can you engage in thought with me here for a few minutes this morning? Who is Jesus referring to? When Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, who is he referring to? I thought about that this week. Who's he talking to about? Is he talking about the two criminals? Father, forgive them. They're criminals. Or my thought this week, was he talking about the soldiers? I mean, the soldiers had brutally beaten Jesus beyond disguise. They beat him. They tortured him. They put him on a cruel cross. Is Jesus saying, Father, forgive them? Is he talking about the religious leaders who pulled him into a court and they falsely accused him? Is he talking about them? Or I thought this week, could it be Judas? Does everybody remember about Judas? Judas was the one disciple who did what? He betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Is he saying, Father, forgive Judas? Or my thought this week even went further than that. Was he talking about all the disciples, the 11 other disciples? Because the Scripture is very clear. We hear about the denial of Peter, but how many people know all the disciples we hear in Scriptures, they denied him at his worst moment? In his worst moment, his disciples turned their back on Jesus and they denied him. So my thought is, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, who is he referring to? Think about it for a second. Who is he referring to? Is it possible that Jesus is offering forgiveness to everyone? To everyone. Not just those people that were present on this hill called the Skull. He's not only talking about that. Could it be possible he's talking to every one of us, past, present, and future? Because the fact is, and here's the facts, folks. Every one of us has this common denominator, this thing in common, and that is every one of us needs forgiveness. Every person needs forgiveness. So if you're taking notes this morning, I say there's three important words that we're going to look at this morning. The first word I want to look at today is the word forgive. What does it mean to be forgiven? What does it mean to forgive? Let's just look at a basic definition of what it means to forgive. It means to wipe the slate clean. So think of this nasty, dirty slate, disgusting slate. To forgive means you wipe the slate clean. Also, to forgive means this. The forgive means to cancel the debt, to cancel the debt. Because when you sin, what you're doing is you're incurring a debt. And that's what forgiveness is. It's forgiveness is when we cancel the debt. See, here's the fact. When we wrong somebody with this horizontal forgiveness, when we wrong somebody, what we do is we want to seek forgiveness. Why do we want forgiveness? Because we want the relationship to be restored. Because the relationship is more important than the offense. And I want to let you know that forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. No one deserves to be forgiven. The fact is, forgiveness is an act of love. It's an act of grace. It's an act of mercy, okay? So forgiveness is a decision that you're not going to hold something against another person. I'm not going to hold that against you because what's more important to me is the relationship. Despite what you have done, despite all the hard things, the evil, the pain that you have brought me, I'm just going to forgive you because what's more important is the relationship. That's forgiveness. And here's the thing, folks, this morning. The Bible, time and time again, not just one time, not just two times, but several times, the Bible tells us as people that we need God's forgiveness. You and I need God's forgiveness. The one on your right, the one on your left, the person in front of you, behind you, the person you live with, your family, we all need God's forgiveness because here's the deal. We've all committed sin. I want you to process that real quick because we're living in a culture anymore where we're excusing our behavior and we're blaming other people. But I want to let you know the fact is we've all committed sin. And in the Bible that I read that I believe is God's holy word, there's a couple verses that make it very clear. There's probably verses that you know as well as I know. For example, Romans 3:23, let's look at that verse. Look at that. Let's read that highlighted line together. For everyone has sinned. What I want to do is I want you to read that, not out loud. Please don't do this. But read that and let's put our name in there. Or let's use the personal pronoun, for I have sinned. Have you done that yet? For I have sinned. I'm falling short. I have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Surely there may be people who did a lot worse things than I have, but I've sinned. And I have found out I have kids. How many people have children? How many people realize, parents realize that you don't have to teach your kid to sin? There's no sin lessons. You know, that it just happens. Kids lie, they misbehave, they steal, they do certain things. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here's another great verse that I think we as Americans need to hear loud and clear. John, who was called the beloved disciple of Jesus, he said these words. He said, if we claim to be without sin. I never thought that was possible. Then I ran into a lady one time who told me she had never sinned. I wasn't sure how I should respond. Are you kidding me? But John says, if we claim to be without sin, check out the next three words. We deceive ourselves. It's one thing when other people deceive you, isn't it? But it's a totally different thing when you deceive yourself. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So here's what I want to just share with you from my heart to your heart this morning. Please, Holy Spirit, help us. And that is that we're desperate. We are people who are desperate. We are desperate for God's forgiveness. We are desperate for God's forgiveness. We need the slate to be wiped clean. We need the debt to be canceled. Because here's the deal. If our sins are not forgiven, the Bible's very clear that we will spend eternity suffering the consequences of sin. If we're not forgiven, we're going to spend the eternity suffering the consequences of sin. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the consequence of sin is very clear also in the Bible. And the consequence of sin is called death. Death. Paul writes a verse, he says, for the wages of sin, everybody together, is death. And the death that he's referring to is actually two-faceted, multifaceted. It's a physical death. We're all going to die because of sin physically. And we're also all going to die spiritually because of sin, meaning we're going to be cut off from our Creator. We're dead spiritually. The wages of sin is death. So here's the question. How can we experience forgiveness? How can the slate be wiped clean? How can the debt be canceled? Can everybody just listen real carefully? I'm not going to be long today, but I do want to be effective. Listen carefully. How can I be forgiven? I want you to think about that. Please don't respond. I'm delaying because I want you to think, how can I be forgiven? I'm here today to tell you something, and that is there's nothing, nada, zip. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn forgiveness. Do you understand that this morning? There's nothing you can do to earn forgiveness. You can't wipe your slate clean. You can't pay the debt. See, that's the problem. We don't understand the fullness of the cross. We live in America. We have an American Western culture mindset. We think there's certain things that we can do. I can do more good than bad. That's forgiveness. No, it's not. There's nothing we can do to be forgiven. Well, I went to church on Easter. There's nothing you can do. Well, I've been to church every Sunday for the last 16 years. There's nothing you can do. Is everybody hearing me this morning? There's nothing you can do to earn forgiveness. And that's really bad news. But here's the good news. How many people believe you're in a church this morning that preaches the good news? Amen? You're in a church that believes the good news. And the good news is on Friday of Passion Week, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, the one who knew no sin, the one who was perfect without sin, he came and he died on the cross. And I want to let you know, if you think his life was taken, you're sadly mistaken. I want to let you know that Jesus gave his life willingly, willingly. He gave his life. He died on the cross. And through the shedding of his blood, the shedding of his blood, there's forgiveness of sins for you, for the entire world. There's forgiveness of sin. Look at this verse in 1 John 1:2. It says, he, referring to Jesus, is the sacrifice that atones. Don't get freaked out by that word atone. It simply means to cover. So what Jesus, his blood does is it covers over our sins, meaning God no longer sees our sins. But if you've asked Jesus in your life, God sees the blood of Christ. You're declared righteous. He doesn't see your sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world, okay? So we're going to move on because we've only looked at one key word this morning, forgiveness. But before we move on, I want to make something clear, and that is that Jesus paid the price for your sins. Do you believe that this morning? I want you to process this. Think, please, engage your mind with your ears this morning. Jesus paid the price for your sins. Totally. Well, you don't know what I did. Totally. You don't know what they did. Totally. Jesus paid the price for your sins, and the scripture says in Hebrews, once and for all. No other sacrifice would have to be made like they did in the Old Testament. But Jesus was the payment for your sin once and for all. Sins of your past, sins of your present, and sins of your future. All your sins are forgiven through the work of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for you. And I want to let you know you can't do anything. You can't add to what Christ has already done. Here's the problem, especially us as guys. We want to add. We want to add our part. We want to do our part. But I want to let you know Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins totally. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sin. But, everybody say but. I'm sorry to add this, but I need to say something very important. Something that we need to understand if we're going to get the fullness of forgiveness. Don't miss out on this. Even though you have been forgiven of your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, There's still a part that you have to play. There's still a role. You have a role in this whole thing. And I can't think of a better word. All week I've been thinking, what's the word? What's the word I can use here? What's the part? I've come up with two things. You have to accept, or you have to activate. Everybody, I want you to hear this. You have to activate what Christ has done. I'm going to illustrate this in a way that I think will be very helpful to you. In my wallet, I have a card that's a bank card. How many people have a bank card? Because we don't use cash anymore, do we? We use this card. So when we go in and we make a purchase, we swipe our card and do all these things. And God forbid if they ask me my PIN number. I don't do PIN numbers, okay? But anyway, here's a bank card. It's from First National Bank. How many people remember the first time you got your bank card? Or maybe you lost one, or you needed one replaced and they sent it in the mail. Okay. Remember when they sent you this card in the mail, there was two things that you had to do. There was two things you had to do to what? To activate the card. You remember that? One of the things you had to do, and I haven't done it on mine yet, and that is you had to sign the back of the card. Actually, I remember once when I had a different card, obviously. I gave it to a lady at a cashier, and she said, "Well, sir, you haven't signed the back of your card." And I said, "Well, let me sign it right now." She said, "No, you can't do it right now." I was like, "Why?" But anyway, when you get a card, you got to activate it. I couldn't understand what's the difference if you do it at home and quiet or if you do it right in front of her, you know. But she wasn't satisfied with that. But here's the deal. To activate this card, there's two things you need to do. You got to sign the card. And then on the back of the card, there's usually, "Please call this number." Now they're adding, "Or you could visit this website." By the way, that's a mess. Don't try that one. Use the number. I heard Heather saying the other day, "This isn't working." Call the number. So here's what you do is you get the card in the mail. You activate the card. And you activate it by doing two things. You sign the card. You call the number. And by the way, all that does is it provides you access to what's already yours. The money in the bank is already yours. Does everybody hear that? The money in the bank is that money you've been working for. You've deposited. The money is yours. But in order to activate that money that you've worked for, you need to do what? You need to sign the card. You need to call and activate the card. Forgiveness is much like this card. Forgiveness is already yours. It's already sitting in this account. It's yours. But in order to activate it and make it yours personally, there's a couple of things you need to do, and it's not sign and call a number. But there are two things that you need to do to activate forgiveness in your life. And I want you to get this morning because I think there's a lot of people that don't really have a clear understanding of this. So let me put this away. There's two things you need to do. Number one, first of all, you got to confess. Everybody say that word, confess. We got to confess our sins to God. Here's a powerful verse. John is a rock star. Look at what he says here. He says, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful, he's just, and to do what? Everybody say the word together. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unwickedness. He says, let's do this. We got to confess. We got to confess. So what does it mean to confess? Does anybody know what it means to confess? To confess is simply we just admit. We just got to admit that we've done something wrong. Wrong. It's just saying, Lord, forgive me. I confess my sins. I've done wrong. I admit it. That's the starting point. We need to admit. Let me share it to you this way. I hope this illustration will help you also. Here's a mother, and she's having this conversation with her daughter, and she's speaking to this daughter, and she's saying, hey, you can have a cookie, but in order to have a cookie, you need to do what? You need to ask for permission first. So the child clearly understands to take a cookie without asking is what? Wrong. Sin. Wrong. But one day, let's go to the next slide. One day, mother's not around, and the temptation is just too, too great. Just can't deny herself. So what she does, she doesn't ask for permission. The daughter steals the cookie and eats it. I mean, life is good. But soon after that, the mother, let's go to the next slide, approaches the child and says, I know that you stole the cookie. How many people know that mothers will always find out? Mothers will always find out. And the mother comes to the child and says, I know that you have stole the cookie, you have broken, you have done wrong. And what does the child do? The child breaks down in tears. If you're anything like I was when I was a kid, confesses. What are they confessing? They're admitting that they stole the cookie. They did wrong. Okay? So what does any good mother do? How does any good mother respond? Everybody says they offer forgiveness. That's what parents do. Yeah, you did wrong, offered forgiveness. But how many people know in this story it doesn't end that way? The very next day, and several days after, they find out that they have a child that's really just a cookie thief. Every time the mother's out of the room, the child just continues just to steal cookies. And each time the kid comes confessing, crying, pleading for mercy, very sorrowful, and each time the mother forgives up to a point. Up to a point. Because here's the problem. There's something missing. And here's what's missing is the child's behavior hasn't changed. Okay? Because we would all agree that there's something that needs to happen here. There needs to be just more than confession. There needs to be more than just every time you do wrong, you say, well, I'm sorry, I admit that I'm wrong. But there's something missing. And that's the other side called of this coin called repentance. By the way, scholars debate which one of these comes first, repentance or confession. Some even say they're almost, they work together. They're so closely related. I believe confession comes before repentance. So what is repentance? We're almost done here. There's a couple different definitions for repentance. Repentance is when you have a change of mind that results in a change of action. You have a change of mind that results in a change of action. You have a change of direction. There's another definition that was late arrival, and that is repentance means to turn around, meaning you do a 180-degree turn. You turn from your sin. You were heading this way, and you felt this conviction about repenting or this conviction, and you said, now I'm going to turn around. Now I'm going to turn and do a 180. I'm going to turn towards Jesus as my Savior. So not only is it enough for the child to keep confessing, oh, forgive me, Mom, I did wrong. Yes, I stole the cookie. Would you please forgive me? There needs to become a time when there's a change of behavior. There needs to become a time when there's a changing of direction. I'm no longer heading that way. I'm doing a 180, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go towards doing the right thing. I'm going to come back to Jesus. This is what I want you to see today, and we're almost done. Go to the next slide. I want you to look at that this morning. Confession, admitting, plus repentance, turning, equals, and everybody together said, forgiveness. It's not good people to go to heaven. It's people who are forgiven. But in order to arrive at forgiveness, because the fact is, not everybody's forgiven yet. Yes, forgiveness is in their account. Jesus has paid the price once and for all. But they need to activate it. We need to activate it. We activate our forgiveness through a time where we say, Lord, I confess of my sins. That's why it says in Romans, if we confess with our mouth, if we confess with our mouth. And but beyond confession of just admitting that we've done wrong, now we need to have a repentance. There needs to be a turn of direction in our life. We need to not continue to head towards sin and living life our own way, which is destruction. Now we say, God, I repent. Now I do a 180. And I turn from my sin, and I turn to Jesus Christ, who is the one and only Savior of the world. You got it this morning? You got it this morning? So let me just ask you three questions. You can close everything up. You can write these down if you want. Question number one. Let me ask you a personal question. If we were to go out, just you and I, and talk, my question for you would be, do you want to experience forgiveness? No, I'm good doing my own thing. I'll take my chances. I want to live life my own way. I like what I'm doing now. It's working for me. My first question for you this morning is, do you want to experience forgiveness? You need to determine that. I can't determine that for you. You need to determine that. Do you want to experience forgiveness? Question number two, if so, have you confessed your sin? Has there ever been a day in your life where you just went between just you and God one-on-one and you said, you know what, Lord, I confess. I admit Mike Bechtel's a sinner. I admit that I've stolen, that I've cheated. I admit that I've lied. I admit that my thoughts haven't always been pure. And God, I'm coming to you this morning. I want forgiveness. And God, I admit to you, Lord, one-on-one, you and me, God, I admit I've done wrong. It takes real humility. What it does is it takes you off the throne of your heart and puts God on the throne of your heart. You're not the one in charge. He's the one in charge. He's the one that's holy, just, and perfect, and powerful. Have you confessed your sin, saying, God, I did this? I've done a lot of things. God, the list is really endless. I don't know if I even made it through a day this week without sinning. God, I confess those things to you. And the third question is this, have you repented from your sins? Meaning, was there a time where you say, God, I repent, and I'm not going to continue to walk down that path towards doing things my own way. I'm not going to continue to walk down the path of living in sin. But God, I want there to be a change of direction in my life. God, I was walking towards sin. Now I'm going to do a 180. And I'm going to put sin behind me. And now, Lord, with your strength, I'm going to walk towards Jesus as my Savior. And I'm going to walk my life living for him. So can we all bow our heads this morning? It's not good people. If it was good people that went to heaven, you know what? That was a slap on the face to Jesus. If there were other ways to get forgiveness, I think God did Jesus a great disservice. But the only way is through forgiveness. And the only one who can forgive you is the one who was the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. And his name is Jesus. Is Jesus. How many people today, and I hope we could just be transparent here this morning. Nobody's looking around, but how many people today say, you know what, sign me up. I want this. I want to be forgiven. My hands are both raised. How many people say, I want to be forgiven? That's what God wants for us. He's provided the way. There's been a deposit put into your account. Your account says forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. The payment has been made. Have you confessed? Have you repented? If you've never done those things this morning, I urge you. I don't know how more passionate I can be about this, but I urge you this morning. If not today, what are we waiting for? Let's make today the day of salvation. Let's make today where we say, God, I confess of my sins. Today, I repent of my sins. I turn from those things and I turn towards you. Is there anyone who's never done that and you say, well, I want to do that today. This would be a great day. I can celebrate knowing it was Easter Sunday 2018. Is there anyone today that you'd say, yes, I want to be forgiven, but I haven't confessed. I haven't repented of my sins. I want to make that today. Is there anyone here? Guys, we're playing for keeps here. We're playing for keeps here. We're not here just to get through another Easter service and we're going to go home and eat ham or whatever. We're going to take naps and hang out with family. Those are great things. I love those things. But I'm trying to urge you, encourage you that this is a decision that has eternal significance. Eternal significance. Will you spend eternity in heaven in the presence of Jesus? Or you spend eternity away from him in a place that the Bible talks about frequently, where we're away from him in a place of outer darkness. So Lord, I pray right now, as we close here this morning, I pray, God, that you would do something that's so much greater than this broken vessel. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you'll be at work in people's hearts, not only at this moment, but I pray that you'll be at work in people's hearts for several moments. When they lay in bed at night and they consider, when we slow down, it's when we get in bed and slow down and think, am I forgiven? I think there's a lot of people that assume that they're forgiven. But have you accessed the account? Have you confessed and repented? So Lord, work beyond me. And I ask for your help, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, how many people know I can't persuade you to confess? I can't persuade you to repent. How many people know that's a work of the Holy Spirit? That's what happened to me in fifth grade. I was a little boy that was a sinner. I was a cookie thief. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit just came upon me as a fifth grader and brought me to a place of confession, a place of repentance, a place of forgiveness. And that's my prayer for you guys. I want you to hear this message. You received the message this morning, say amen. 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 Love you guys so much.